Wenn ein Tristan
Hey,
vor dem.
Chesterton, very good morning to you and your team. We would like to once again welcome you to this engagement. The little problem we have, a number of our comrades have reported delays because of accidents on the road. I've seen those who are in Johannesburg, Empire Road. There's a huge truck that has just closed the road. And Mbonle Nase Durban corner, the same thing. Nala, a pine length on the N2. Two lanes were closed this morning. And yet, lanes are always closed in the morning because of the slow traffic. But now, it was it was something else. So, that was the reason that we're having this delay. But since Comrade Chulwana is here, I think we can start. The rest, but Kumanye, so
yeah. Except that Chapman, my voice is not yet back, but I think you can hear me.
Well,
I'm lost in track.
No, it's fine. As long as you're physically here, it's okay. Thanks for making it. Yeah, I know. We know you're not. Chairperson, I want to make the I want to make the following proposal, if I may put it diplomatically. We would like that today we do not discuss deviations and expansions. Because there is a whole set of new information that has come to our attention that we would like to process first. Two sets of bundles of information that has come to our attention. Some of it I have seen, but Comrade Chulwana has not had access to that kind of information. So what we wanted to do, comrades have requested that Ntombi should, in the meantime, check with the House Chair so that we meet on Wednesday next week. We know Parliament is going on recess on Thursday, but we are prepared to stay. I think as a committee we'll meet probably on Tuesday to digest this information so that on Wednesday we can have a meaningful engagement with information pulled together and not just scattered. Otherwise, it does not assist us to have any effective engagement. It is information that has come to my attention this morning, unfortunately. Now, and instead of giving us comfort, I think it merely raises more questions. And if we are to do our oversight work effectively, Parliament should have processed all the information at its disposal so that we can engage meaningfully. But my recollection is that we had five issues to deal with. The one was around the issue of vetting. I see that the gentleman who spoke about vetting that day is not here. But it doesn't matter. The leadership is here. There were issues around irregular expenditure. I think this huge document that we have in front of us, and I'm sure Comrade Kekane still has a few issues, and I'm sure maybe other comrades around accruals. So I think if we can deal with this, we can then deal with the other substantive issues next week, Wednesday. Yeah. Yes, Comrade, you had your hand up. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that I want to bring to your attention, which is a little bit of an issue. We do know as a committee that Mr. Matebula is appointed as procurement officer. But many letters that has been written by the, in Treasury, signed by Soli. Now, Soli has written signed a lot of letters, Chairperson, which are a little bit inconsistent. I want to prove, say to one case, which I just want to ask your permission or the permission of the committee to allow him to ask Treasury to allow him to come. So in the inconsistencies that Soli have done with Transnet, there's a project called TCP. So, and then Soli signed off for $4 billion in that particular one. $4 billion, Jefferson. Now, for an official, they have such a capacity to have signed.
What was that? Was that deviation?
Yes, deviate from the tender validity
okay.
period.
All right.
That's what it is said.
Okay.
Which is a huge tender of $4 billion. How they have come to agree and how they have come to talk to each other, I want to really get a lot of clarity about it. That how did they reach the end? There's a lot of inconsistency, but with one thing remarkable, that Soli keep on saying to Transnet. The reasons provided are justifiable. National Treasury supports the deviation. The institution has an obligation. I'm just saying your 6, 7, and 8 is very consistent throughout his presentation to Transnet. Now, that's why I'm saying I want you to make a ruling that should we have Matebula and Soli coming together so that you can understand, or can the DG of Treasury come and clarify these issues, that how does deviations work? Not what Peter was telling me, because Peter was telling me nothing. I can prove it, I'll prove it again next week, that he was misleading us. I'm just saying, I'm asking your permission, that can make up your mind and judgment that should we have in this issue, because it's costing us $94 billion, to be fair now. We're at $94 billion with deviations. We can't pay the high fees students are demanding, but here we are at $94 billion. Now I want you to be able to give me a ruling and give guidance on this matter, that how should we handle it. The one part in that is not here, which I think that one we're going to take that one. It's about the back. I mean, what you call it, kickbacks and what. That information that has been provided is in generality. It doesn't tell us specifically. Now, one of the things that are in the newspapers, which I know of, is that one of the board members of Transnet, is what the CEO is not telling us, is that that board member in Transnet has got a kickback of $1 million, Stanley something, from, his relationship with the Guptas. So I thought that the CEO, when he asked us to give him an opportunity to go and give us all the allegations that they are saying that we should put them on record against the media, he has not, in the information provided yesterday, that submission is not there. So I would have loved that the CEO give us in total detail, because this has been part of his own report, where he said to us there are media allegations, and I thought that he was going to give us the detail. But in the information provided yesterday, Chairperson, there's nothing. Unless he is going to take us through in terms of our knowledge of what we know, what we've read in the media, or in terms of what we solicit guidance from him. So that's one of the topics that I thought that we'll tackle today.
Okay. Yeah, no, my bad. That's what the petty bourgeois say. My bad. 2 minutes, my mistake. Comrade Boy. Comrade Boy, it was my mistake. Yes, the issue that you had asked about the allegations that the CEO spoke about, yes, it is an issue that must discuss today.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I separate that from the deviations and the expansion. And the calling of National Treasury, I think that will actually complete the engagement, especially around deviations, because it's National Treasury that approves or disapproves. So we can't talk to Transnet and say, but you've deviated here, we are not convinced this was right. But they say, in terms of the law, National Treasury has allowed us. And so there will be no case. If there's any inconsistency, it is National Treasury that must respond to it, not Transnet. Unless, of course, we're challenging the substance of the issues they are raising. Clengwa?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to colleagues. I was just coming into the matter of the proposal for next week, Chair, to support the proposal that you've made, because I think we need to do justice to the information that has been brought to our attention this morning. I think that it's in the interest of oversight that we first process it properly, test it, and then subject it to a hearing and an interaction with Transnet. So, Chair, I would believe that the issues on deviations and expansions will be best dealt with if what is before us now is anything to go by as standalone items, and so to support next week. I think what is in there is concerning, and it speaks to, it raises more questions rather than give answers. And so I would really urge you, Chair, to fast track the process of the special application of meeting next week, because I'm quite concerned by it. So I just wanted to support your proposal, Chair, to say I think it does justice to what it is that we want to do, because the state of health, if there's anything to go by, then we've got a long way to go. Thanks, Chair.
All right. I want us to start, comrades. I want us to start. I wanted to start. I can't start unless we're all settled and focused. Can we start?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Thank you for allowing us to appear before you today to finalize the issues that were raised last week. And it is truly your prerogative that you satisfy yourself with all the issues that you feel they need to be sorted out. I don't want to waste much time. I've come with my Transnet team. Here I have our CEO, our GCEO, Mr. Gama. We have our CFO, Gary Peter. And I'll ask Mr. Gama to take over. Should you introduce each and every one, Chairperson?
I think we know each other by now.
Okay. Without wasting much time, let me just hand over to Mr. Gama.
And maybe, maybe let's start with the issue around vetting. I've seen your letter. Unfortunately, Zolo, I came almost towards midnight because of the delay. And luckily, it was not SAA that delayed me. So one can say the state entities, it was not. But I arrived here almost towards midnight. So I have had sight of the letter that you sent, but I only had sight of it now that I'm here. Somebody who could talk to that, discuss it, and close it. And then, because I think that is the one item where we may want to hear from you in terms of explaining this is what happened, this is how it happened, this is where we are, and this is how we're taking the process forward. And then we can check with comrades on the other issues.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. indeed, I think that was one of the matters arising, and I think we should try and dispose of the matters arising up front. The issue of the vetting, as indicated, we were instructed in 2014 via the State Security Agency that a cabinet decision had been taken to vet all supply chain management personnel. The Group Chief Executive of Transnet at that time in 2014 gave the authority for that process to commence. There were discussions that took place between management and organized labor where some concerns were raised around the vetting process. They then moved on to have discussions also with the different management layers within the entity. And there were issues that were raised just around the confidentialities and whether or not all of the supply chain people should be vetted. They then agreed amongst themselves that only the management should be targeted. They then communicated this. But at date, what has happened is that only 56 out of a possible 750-odd employees in supply chain have provided the required information to be able to assist the SSA to start the vetting process. There have been lapses in that there was no feedback that took place. We are instituting an investigation into these lapses, and we will also start a process with the SSA to regularize this process. And we think that we should ask for some time for us to deal with this. We are meeting with the SSA later this week. In order to make sure that there's adequate and appropriate capacity to enable us to move forward with this particular process. We concede that it is not where it ought to have been. This process ought to have been finalized some time ago, and it has taken now more than 3 years to deal with this process, and it is far from over. In fact, the rate of completion is dismal and unacceptable. So we will deal with these particular issues, the management lapses that we have identified now in this particular process, and we we have set terms of reference that will assist us to expedite this particular process, Chair. Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much, CEO. Now, if I can, you know, what precisely what was the cabinet decision? What did it say? Not necessarily verbatim, but to say this is what it said must happen. I'm raising this in the context of the negotiations and the decisions that were taken. That were you now amending the cabinet decision, or were you merely looking at the best way of implementing that decision?
Thank you, Chair. I think in our own internal discussions, one of the things that I have indicated to the management is that Transnet is an organized state, and it must comply with all reasonable and lawful instructions that it gets. The cabinet decision basically indicated and instructed the state security agency to conduct vetting of all supply chain personnel countrywide in all organs of state, including state-owned entities, provinces, and national government departments.
So, if I can just follow up. Now, the negotiations, the engagement that then took the decision that only managers will be targeted, is that still in conformity with the decision, or is it an amendment of the decision, or is it a deviation from where you are seated?
From where I'm sitting, we then sought to deviate from the instruction by trying to categorize the different employees, which is why I'm saying we need to regularize this. It basically indicated that all of the entities. So the discussion, even with the unions that took place, sought to try and negotiate when in fact the decision has been taken, and therefore it ought to have been one where information was being shared, that a directive has been given, and that that directive is going to be complied with and it will be implemented.
But in your understanding, now that you are the man in charge, why would a person working in supply chain management have a problem with being vetted? Theoretically, I know.
Yeah. They raised a number of issues which they said infringed on constitutional rights to privacy. But I think maybe just to give you the flavor of it, I will ask Advocate Folming, who was present at those meetings, to just give a very brief thing in terms of what they are, what was raised at those meetings.
Sure. Thank you very much, Chairperson. There were various concerns that were raised over time. And to summarize the essence of it, there were concerns about the intrusive nature of the information that was being required.
But is vetting not intrusive?
No, absolutely, Jay. Let me just explain.
No. I'm just saying the moment you start saying it is intrusive, but is vetting not intrusive by its very nature?
Precisely. And we then explained to the staff that you do have a right to privacy. It is a constitutionally guaranteed right. But the right can be limited if it is reasonable and justifiable in an open and democratic society. I think that's fairly trite. And no one can claim that they have an irrevocable right to privacy that can never be limited. So
It took some engagement. There were concerns about those
but,
sorts of
but
things.
But then you ended up bending over to those concerns because at the end it was then agreed amongst yourselves that, well, let's focus on management and leave the rest of the personnel that is in supply chain management. And yet the cabinet memo says the SSA, the SSA must vet all personnel in supply chain management across all organs of state.
Chair,
that is true, Chair. I think there was unnecessary procrastination that took place, which is why I am asking for the indulgence of this committee to go and regularize this particular matter because it remains irregular and it ought not to have happened in this particular manner. But also there were no reports or feedback to senior management to indicate that the process had in fact been stalled, because that is what in effect then happened. The process never went ahead. Only a handful of the SCM personnel started the vetting process. So
all
we
right.
need to expedite.
No, that's fine. Let me give my comrades. Like I said last week, we went to one single entity where the acting CEO refused to be vetted. And this is a cabinet memo. You're working for a state-owned entity, a public servant. And if I have a right to privacy. Okay. Comrade Kuno, Lengwa, and then Comrade Kika.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, the way you, you come across the presentation of this vetting and how you're trying to protect or defend supply chain management staff, it's, to me, it comes across as something that you are hiding something. Why should they be treated with kids' gloves and not anybody else? And why should it be privacy when it comes to them? We are in a public institution. The minute you come into any public institution, there are things that you sign and you know that you are conformed to, and that takes away your privacy. You can't be an employee of government and you talk about privacy. What is privacy about public funds? What is supply chain? If you look, Chairperson, into the reports of Transnet throughout the years and the problems that are there, they are caused by the supply chain. And when you try to defend them and you know treat them with kids gloves and say, I'm still going to try and you know prepare regulations, and it's clear, the memo is clear, all you have to do, people have to be vetted. Why should you come to Parliament and be told that you should go and vet? It's something that we are supposed to have done, and we don't know how long is it going to take. So it means whatever that we are trying to hide, by the time vetting has been done or is going to be done, then you'll be fine with it. Because it comes across as that you are trying to hide something. Why are you protecting them and defending them?
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. You are out of order. It's out of order. And I think we need to, we can't be a lawless country. We have to abide by the laws and the regulations. It does not mean somebody is better than the other. We are all equal citizens, and that's, I think that's what the Constitution is saying.
All right.
Thanks.
Chairperson, as far as I'm concerned, here there's a defiance by commission or omission. That's in the first instance. Secondly, there's a failure on the part of management to adhere to cabinet decisions. It's inconceivable that it will take 3 years and nobody knew anything about it, that it had to come to this committee first for us to raise red flags, only to be told that management didn't know anything, and then they come back today and still don't know anything. 56 out of a possible 300 employees have provided information. By any measure or standard, that's a failure rate of epic proportions. And even now it's being sanitized. I just, who was responsible for this, and what response did they give? Last week we were told that it was the union. Has anybody absolved the unions now, which it was not them, and in fact it was a failure of management and oversight to implement decisions? Let's not play games here, Chairperson. Somebody has not done their job. And now a convenient deference is being used simply because they don't want to be vetted. It's as simple as that. And now all sorts of platitudes have been given to us, sanitizers, and all sorts of things to say, well, no, this, that, and the other. The bottom line is that management must admit today that they have failed by omission or commission, and I'm quite convinced that it's by commission, which well, we'll just put this thing under the radar with the hope that it won't surface again. Well, shame, bad luck, umsama, okanye, it did come to the surface. And now we need to know who was responsible for it. I cannot accept a cabinet decision, which as far as I'm concerned, ubaswako, merchant, go and do something. And then you just do it for 3 years. And then to be told, out of a possible 300 people that had to be vetted, only 56 have provided information. So you're dealing with about 544 who don't give two hoots in hell about the directives of their own employers. And then and management didn't know about it. I think that's not the issue. What follow-up are being done to the implementation of cabinet decisions? It's obvious that none is happening. This could clearly be the tip of the iceberg to other things about cabinet instructions, about things that have to be done that are not being done.
Okay. All right. Well, I think the CEO has admitted that men are lapses. Comrade Kekan?
Chair, in actual fact, I want to respond to what you've just said. I'm a bit disturbed or concerned about what the CEO said. And now I understand why this was not done. The instruction of this committee last week was not what the CEO has told us. We said in this meeting, we need a list of the people who are vetted. I expected the CEO to give us a list of the people who are that is vetted, but not to give us a ballpark figure and say out of the 756 have not been vetted. That is the first issue. The second one is what Hlengwa is raising and what you raise. This is mandatory. It's not negotiable. It's an instruction that is from the employer. And in some instances, it is a condition of employment. Now, if one is breaching his condition of employment, that person is actually not that is working for that institution, because it is a contract that you have that is with your employer. And that is not done. Now, we are sitting here listening to the CEO telling us that, from last week when we had a discussion on this issue, I came up with a plan. Now, the question is, why didn't he come up with a plan 3 years ago? And yet the act is very clear. And that is why last week I kept on referring to the provisions of the act. Section 38, that is of the PFMA, it spells out clearly the responsibilities of the CEO. And I think we need confirmation from the CEO in this meeting whether he understands what he is supposed to do. Because there is a Bible that is supposed to guide him. And in whatever we do, we also follow that Bible. And the CEO, in whatever he is doing that is in the department, he will have to, that is, follow the provisions of the Act. And in this case, it is very clear that he did not follow the provisions of the Act. Now, what do you want us to do? Should we just smile and say, no, CEO, we understand today, you made a mistake, tomorrow you'll correct this? Failing to do simple things that we said last week, give us a list, because I still suspect that some of your senior management seated in front of us are not vetted. Actually, when I raised this question, to be honest with you, I was trying to indicate, where's the list? That's the question. Where's the list?
All right, just note the question, CEO. Ross, and then Comrade Shima.
I think I'm covered by Comrade.
Oh, okay. Ross?
Chairperson, yes.
Yes, just from my point of view, just to confirm that I'm extremely disappointed. If you take the number of 750 that you've indicated the current employees is, and I'm not quite sure if that is the employees just in terms of supply chain management. Are those the numbers?
Yes, those are the managers who
in supply chain. And 56 was vetted. Then it gives you 696 that is not vetted, which is very close to 700 people not being vetted. But the cabinet decision instructed the state security agency to do the vetting. And perhaps we should also engage with the state security agency why the vetting has not been done, because they received the instruction from cabinet and they were supposed to implement these instructions. Whether there was obstruction on the part of Transnet, that could be established from the state security agency, and I think that would be the question, if we can be guided in this regard. But Chairperson, certainly the issue of the non-vetting will harden our, as a committee, I believe, our resolve to fight corruption, because this is a very serious issue, and certainly we cannot accept a state entity just to craft its own new culture of defying a cabinet decision. Thank you.
Right.
First of all, my apologies of coming later. Airport blues. Chair, from what my colleagues have said, if you go to university and you study corruption in a formal course, it gives you a equation for corruption. And it goes like this. Corruption equals monopoly plus discretion minus ethics. Now, vetting is what tests ethics, and it tests people's position of where they are and whether they will act in a bad way. So if you don't do vetting, you are asking for corruption. It fulfills the prophecy of the equation. So I just want to support my colleagues wholeheartedly, and frankly, you can't go much further until you've done that. Thank you.
This matter makes me cough.
The gentleman, Chair, who raised, because I really want to mislead Parliament is quite a serious offence, and I would like the testimony that was put before us last week tested. Would it was categorically said, which it's the union. So is that statement being withdrawn? I'm really interested to know.
No,
we can actually clear the woods in terms of the stories and the fairy tales and the facts.
Okay. Ross, I was thinking along those lines that maybe we may need to consider engaging the state security agents, because cabinet took a decision that vet all supply chain management personnel across all organs of state. And so far we've come across two entities where they have been stalling. SAA, that's the one, where you had an acting CEO who refused to be vetted, and then you have Transnet. Now, the critical question becomes, when this stalled, what did the SSA do? Did they report back to cabinet? And what has cabinet done about its own decision taken in 2014? So I'm trying to think, and I'm sure by the time we finish here, would have whether we need the state security agency to talk to this one, but also to give us a sense. But maybe even cabinet, I think the men responsible for monitoring, I mean, they take decisions. Then what?
Yeah. I want to go along with you, Chairperson. Quite clearly in the information provided by Transnet, they even started writing to each other's SSA and started to downgrade the approach that cabinet had recommended. So it's either the official that is dealing with Transnet, that is SSA, should be able to produce a correspondence that shows that between him and the cabinet or the executive person then, was there an official letter that spoke to the withdrawal position that they're busy putting themselves into? So in the interest of SCOPA, so that we are more detailed, we know that this is a cabinet decision, it's a policy. Can somebody come and account? So it's the head of SASA, of SSA, and the minister himself. So that you do know exactly that how do positions change internally.
Okay.
Because it seems as if Transnet has got too much power in this government.
Okay. Yes, complete. Or maybe they are still going to respond to the questions.
Yeah. No, they will. Yeah,
they will. Because if that is the case, let me wait, then I'll make a follow-up thereafter.
That's fine. I was just thinking aloud on this issue, because now the president has instructed the minister to find money. And if we're going to find money, we must start by plucking the leaks. And where are the leaks? The leaks are in supply chain management, first and foremost. That's where you need to start. And this vetting was a very critical tool in identifying the leaks and, you know, and plucking them. And if it was just left just like that, it will become difficult to justify to ordinary people why they should pay more tax when that very tax is just being wasted. You don't stop the wastage and then ask for more. So it is a very critical and strategic tool that government had, which I think apparently appears to have just fallen by the wayside. So I think by the time we finish here, comrades, we'll tie down what it is that we need to do. But maybe let me hand over to you, CEO. I think there were two or three questions that were raised pointedly that you could respond to.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think, as I indicated on this matter arising from last week, is to indicate that since the matter was raised, I've gone back to the organization. I ascertained that the then group chief executive of Transnet in 2014 authorized that the vetting should take place. And that the vetting, unfortunately, 3 years later, as indicated, only 56 employees have gone through it. I would like that we withdraw the statement that this thing was stopped by the unions, because it's not true. The management, as indicated by the advocate here, they started to engage about rights and all of those things. I've said that Transnet is an organ of state. We don't have...
Just a minute.
Yeah.
Well, and I hope you don't lose track of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Were you aware last week when the gentleman indicated that it was the unions that stopped the process, that was not the case?
No, as I indicated last week, it was the first time that I heard about this matter, and I put that on the record, that it was the first time that I had heard about it. So it is not one of the matters that, when I took over as CEO, was a matter that seemed to be outstanding. So I was not aware. That is why I've then indicated that.
Just one point.
Are you trying to say to us that you don't know that when you get the first salary as a CEO, you take full responsibility of the institution? Is that what you don't know?
No.
Because it's by law. It's not by your decision. And they are supposed to have been taken through all the issues that have been part of Transnet. After 3 years, you can't tell us.
No. It's not about accountability. I'm talking about this particular matter. I'm talking about awareness, not accountability. I'm fully accountable for what is happening in Transnet, which is why I am indicating to the committee that I'm investigating this matter as we speak, because there are management lapses that have taken place, that we need to make sure that the system of governance and the system of management is dealt with, so that there is never again do we overlook such important issues. But also I've indicated to this committee that there is not a negotiable matter in terms of this vetting, that Transnet must simply comply with the matter, and that we will do so. I have looked at what has happened in terms of some management changes here and there and movements of people, but that does not in any way absolve Transnet in terms of doing what they ought to have done.
Did you ask that gentleman why he misled us?
There was a discussion with the unions where the unions raised concern, but we could not say that unions stopped it, because I think the impression that was created was that the unions had stopped it. There was a concern, there was an engagement. It is true that the unions had raised concern. but we can't use the word stopped because they didn't stop it. So that's what I'm withdrawing.
All right.
Yeah.
In
terms of a list, we can provide the lists, but I think as I've indicated, the SSA was provided with the names. There are issues that seem to point to the fact that the person that was responsible at the SSA was moved elsewhere and then this process never continued. But I have not engaged yet with the SSA. This is what I want to do this week. So I don't want to come to this committee and give you speculation. I want to deal with these issues on the basis of facts.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
No, Chair, I don't understand.
Done?
Yeah. No, the issue of the list is not... I don't understand. We can provide a list, but I want to explain to this committee that the person that I was dealing with this issue, I did not have an engagement with. But if you do have the figure 56,
yeah,
all what we need is we need the figure 56 to correspond with the names. And that does not need anybody that is to assist you with, because you do have that information.
Yeah, no. My understanding is that we'll get the list.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
I will give Comrade Poe and then I'll come to you.
You see, Chair, why you won't get the list, to be fair to you, is because Arnold Singh is not there. The man who created that man there, for him not to be able to do the necessary work. And as long as Arnold Singh is not in the system, because he created that particular problem of unaccountability within the system of Trump, that's where your problem is. And you won't get it. It's not about SAS. I can check, I can engage it. But I'll tell you that it is another thing that created this type of a crisis. And that's why we sit with the problem, because those are the type of characters that didn't want to be dragged into, to be vetted. And that's why we've got a more bigger problem within Transnet. And I'm going to prove it to you that you have got a very Gupta-related matter that runs a very deep end within Transnet and being spearheaded by Peter. That I'm going to provide. But I'm saying, what the CEO is saying is not factual.
All right. No, that's fine. The CEO says the list will be sent to us. So, Hlengwa?
No, Chair. Why is the list not here today? Because the list was asked for last week. Honorable Gagan asked the list last week. Those that have been vetted, the list must be submitted. Manje, you see, Chair, he did. He asked for it. Yeah. Manje, Lumchiga Cho Chairperson.
All right. Can we? Yes, I'm coming to you. Today is Tuesday. Can we get the list by Thursday?
No, that's fine, Chair. I think it was just a mistaken understanding of the issue. It said give us a status of the vetting process.
No, that's fine.
But we can give the list. It's not a problem.
Right.
Okay.
That's it.
Clem,
what?
I don't want to be misunderstood. A list was asked for who has been vetted to the point to which Honorable Kekana said he even suspects it from that list you would ascertain what senior management has not been vetted. Then ask for status.
question, Can I make it easy for you, Chairperson? If a list is available, a list will be in somebody's computer and it's not going to be difficult for that person. We have technology, you know. Even ourselves now, we can go through the emails now. So that list can be given to us now, Chairperson. Just to prove a point that you are not hiding anything. But again, Chairperson, I want to put it on record that we are not here. We didn't call you CEO and your entourage to come here on holiday. We mean business. We are public representatives, and we want to make sure that you are accountable to the taxpayers' money. When we say we need this from you, a report from you, that's what it is. Nothing else. We want to have that report. And if the report is available, let's have it now. Ask anybody. You can instruct them. Instruct them and say, send that list. And we have our own secretaries here. They can go print it out, and before we end this meeting, we'll have that list and deal with who was not vetted. But, Chairperson, what I want to raise, that's why I raised my hand earlier on, was that CEO is lacking on a lot of things. He knows how important the vetting is. Our public enterprises or state-owned companies are in trouble. They are falling apart. And they are falling apart under some of your watch. And something so important to make sure that we try to get to the root cause and deal with the real problems. You are not taking it serious. I have not met SSA. I'm still going to meet SSA. I'm still going to meet ABCD. When are you going to do it? How long does it take for you to take a decision and say, this is very important, I have to deal with it? It took you 3 years for you to try and implement it. So I'm saying, Chairperson, pull up your socks. We are going to be here and make sure that those public enterprises or state-owned companies are not going to die as somebody is trying to do. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Comrade Boy, I want us to tie this one down.
Yeah. So you see, Chairperson, the problem is that the GCAO or whatever is commercialism is misleading us. When he arrived in Transnet, he arrived at the GCE at the time approved that the names of SEM employees be made available to the SSA for vetting purposes.
Who made that approval?
Chair?
I said, who made that approval?
When he arrived, I'm reading his letter.
Yeah?
Yes. This is what he wrote to us.
You have that letter?
In the show, you could check us, and the letter is there in front of you. If you get a guizor. Yeah, page one. Mr. N. T. Gold, the Chairperson Standing Committee of Public Accounts. I palo lewe, na le let. Or ni kulme nges changa, na yada na le. Hey, bwana ngob Chairperson. Oh, I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, he says, Chairperson, the SEM vetting project was presented to SLF Gupta's team. So the list is there. It was even given to a group of people who have to be vetted. And organized labor raised the concern that the planned vetting approach simply grouped together SEM decision makers and non-decision makers. That's what they expressed. And it means the list exists. And he has seen the list. That's why he's able to report back to you on a written form that what the process and what has happened. Now what is confusing is what he's telling us today, that what is it does, what does it imply? That he himself never seen this list. And he only had to chase away that fellow who was here, whom he's now trying to take away from our attention on a wrong decision that he has not been able to implement.
Okay. No, that's fine. two things that I would like us to the list.
I'm saying we do have the list with us. I've just been informed that there is a list.
Okay.
Yes, so it will be printed and provided.
Fine. Thank you very much. No, I do want to acknowledge CEO, the fact that even though it is as a result of engagement with us, but the fact that at least you have begun a process to regularize these things. I'm sure comrades will not forget. In due course, when that process is done, I might be interested to find out what time frames do you have in mind, so that we can, from our side, make sure that we do meet at a later stage so that we can talk to this. So that is one. I'm happy with that. The fact that at least we have stood up, are doing something about it. Two, comrades, I think it might be important for us to meet with the Minister Bongo. You know? And his team to find out exactly what happened from their side, but also not in relation to Transnet, but to say generally, how are you implementing this 2014 cabinet decision? Because it is at the root, I think, as Tim said, vetting tests your ethics. Now, if we are not testing and have not tested the ethics of people who are responsible for supply chain management, then it means that SSA is actually letting the state down in its fight against or maybe they have their own version. Maybe they've chased away from Transnet by Transnet security. We don't know. So it will only be fair to hear from them exactly what happened. Now, lastly, the statement that you have withdrawn from that gentleman who did not come. Why didn't that gentleman come today? Why is he not here?
He's been replaced by Advocate Fulman because we needed to deal with the governance issues in terms of, and Mr. Fulman is more the governance specialist.
So what was he doing last week?
It had to do with the issues of deviations.
But we're going to deal with deviations today. You didn't know we're going to
on the procurement.
I'm saying we're going to deal with deviations today.
Yeah, but we brought the teams that deal directly on a day-to-day basis with these issues. We wanted to have a sharper focus on the issues.
So last week, what was he doing?
Because you will recall, Chair, that from last week, you then indicated the issues that you wanted to focus on today. So we then brought in those teams that can focus more on those particular issues because they deal with them on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we should not take it lightly when somebody comes and say something that is patently untrue. When the committee meets, it's the same as the House sitting, but split into smaller groups. So you therefore can't have a person coming and misleading us on something that is so, so straightforward. And from what you have said, it's clear that there were issues and there were management lapses in terms of monitoring, but also in terms of reporting, you know. And I don't want us to let it pass. I don't want us to let it pass. I want you to go back, and next time we meet, we'd like to hear from you what has happened to that gentleman. You can't come here and tell us lies. I don't use that word liberally, but I'm using it now because it is an established fact that you misled us. So I would I would love that you follow that up. It can be insignificant that you come before Parliament. And I think, was it Comrade Kekane or was it you, Comrade Paul, who asked over and over again, are you sure? Can you give us the names of the unions that were involved? Which are these unions? Comrade Paul. You are casting aspersions on unions, that they are the ones who basically stopped or stole the process. And he said, well, I don't have the names of the unions, but yeah, it was the unions. So I would want you to come to us and tell us these are the measures that we've taken. We can't have people coming and misleading us just like that. Because it then raises questions, you see, about whether officials would say the kind of things that will suit the occasion, or they will talk to facts. So that Parliament has the facts, the information with which it will be able to take decisions and do its work. So it can be correct, and it can be accepted from our side. So I think from my side, those are the things. So we'd like to check time frames on your side. On the issue of that gentleman who came here and misled us, I don't want to hear from you now, but I want to hear from you later. This is what transpired. Comrade Kuno? I want us to close this matter,
yes,
Comrade.
Yes.
Comrade Kuno, Comrade Kikane, Ross, and then...
Thank you, Chairperson. I was not here last week, but I watched a case in a hospital bed. So I know what you are talking about, and we really need to deal with it. But Chairperson, you know, when you were closing the matter, your summary was that at least the group CEO, that's what it's called, ne? The group CEO, he's doing something. He's now trying to regularize the vetting process. So it comes across as it's okay for people not to do their work. So when they start, even if it's after 3 years, and they start only last week, you know, at least they are doing something. But the question I wanted to ask, I thought the cabinet, when they said all the state-owned entities, they have to be vetted. I thought there's already a prescription of what is it exactly that they need to get to. So when you regularize that prescription, why are you? I mean, it's like constitution is there. We know this is the law. This is the. Why should you regularize something that is already there? Is it not part of stalling the process? So I agree with you. We need to have the time frame, because regularizing this thing is not going to get us into the bottom of this. I think it's stalling, and there's something that they're hiding. Thanks, Chair.
Comrade Kekane, and then Ross.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to deal with your summary. You suggested that we invite the Minister of State Security. I fully agree with you. That is on this issue, and also on vetting in general. But my addition would be for the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, because this is a cabinet decision. And as to what are they doing, that is on cabinet decision, because you might find that there are a number of cabinet decisions that are not implemented, and somebody's not checking on that. And when you look at the issue of vetting, it is at the core of corruption in government. And if we are saying we want to deal with corruption, you can't then leave the issue of vetting as just an issue. This is a serious issue. And maybe that is why we are spending a lot of time that is on the issue. We need to zoom into this. And from the group, the chief executive, we want a comprehensive report, a full report, not only the names, as we say, a full report as to what happened, the stories that we've been hearing, because strategically, if you can check, he is withdrawing, that is the issue of the unions. And he has withdrawn
the person who said that, because maybe they felt that we are still going to raise these issues. But we are saying he is responsible. He is the accounting officer. Actually, it was even incorrect for us in the last meeting to even ask that person. We need to direct our questions to the accounting officer. The accounting officer is the one that needs to account to us in terms of the law. And your support team can come here and give you backing. But the person who must take full responsibility, it is yourself, sir. And we are saying we want full, investigation on this matter as to what happened. And the list that we requested, it must also be supplied to us. And over and above that, because your senior management also needs to be vetted, you also include, that is, the list of your senior management that have been vetted and those who have not been vetted.
All right, thanks, Roth. And then Comrade Chulwane, and then we move over to something else.
Chairperson, perhaps I just need a bit of clarification with regards to the withdrawal of the statement that the unions was involved. Because if you look at the letter, and the gentleman that was not present today did indicate that the unions had some concerns. But in your letter that you've written to the chairperson, sir, in the very first paragraph you say the supply chain management vetting project was presented to the SLF task team and organized labor raised a concern. Now, who's organized labor? Organized labor certainly is the unions. Now then, perhaps the gentleman did not lie, because he said there was a concern from the unions. And in your letter today that you've now said the gentleman lied, you state in your letter to the Honorable Gordy, the supply chain management vetting project was presented and organized labor raised a concern that the planned vetting approach simply grouped together this and that. So you went more technical on it. So I don't believe I think we just need some clarification with regards to who lied and who is now withdrawing statements, which is perhaps not true. But the letter states the contrary.
All right, Comrade Chulwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just an addition on the invitation of the SFA
to come. SFA.
State Security
Agency,
not SAS. Chairperson, it's just an addition for you or maybe in your office when you make the invitation, that when they come, it's not solely on briefing us on Transnet. Like you've said, captured it earlier before that. You remember when you went to South African Airways, we had a similar case. If maybe they could just compile and brief us on all departments or entities, I think that would be best, so that we are able to check the matter into detail, not specifically with Transnet per se. But this matter has been a matter that has been seized with us for quite a long time. Many entities, so many senior managers didn't want to be vetted. So that they come with a brief report.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you. Chair.
I want to support Honourable Ross. I think we've got to be very careful here as SCOPE as a committee to write off, if somebody comes to our committee and gives us information, that we just, on the face of it, just write it off as a lie or the truth. Now, that gentleman made a statement. The CEOs make a contradictory statement. How do we know who's lying? Who's being less than the truthful? Or is it a matter of semantics? Are we talking about the unions that are concerned? That could mean the unions wanted to stop it. It could mean they were just mildly concerned. I think what this committee should ask for, because it is an important issue, is a full report on the unions' omission or commission, involvement or non-involvement in the vetting process. Because at the same time, if they are a stumbling block, that needs to be addressed as well. Anybody who's in the stumbling block in the issue of vetting needs to be addressed. So can we request a full report on what exactly happened there, maybe with input from the unions as well, so we get a full picture. But to sit here and just say, you're a liar, you're not, simply because the CEO has come here today and said, well, that chap's lying and I'm telling the truth, Well, you know, then we're going back to the Middle Ages in terms of evidentiary material proof. And we must do it properly, Chair. Thank you.
All right. No, that's fine. My understanding is that the investigation that they are going to do is going to be comprehensive. It will tell us what happened, who did what, and who did not do what. And I think the CEO was quite clear that the part that is being withdrawn is a statement by the gentleman that the unions stopped. They may have raised concerns, but the fact that this process has not continued cannot be put at the door of the unions. And that statement, the one that is saying, is incorrect. And to the extent that he was asked repeatedly and stated that position as fact, it is the part that stands to be untrue. And I think, but let's wait for the investigation, because I want to believe that management lapses were now being shifted to unions, when actually, because if you have 56 people who have submitted, then you can't say the matter was stopped. But I'm sure the 56 are also union members, one or the other. But anyway, since these are managers, I'm sure they are not union members, because they are within management. So unions could not have stopped management from, you know, subjecting themselves to vetting. But let's have that checked. I just want to check the one part from your side in terms of time frames.
No, thank you very much. In terms of time frames, I mean, our view is that this can be done as soon as possible in terms of providing the information. What I wanted to check with SSA is how long it's going to take them to do the actual vetting. So in our discussions internally, we will have this information collected from all of the employees by the end of next week.
Yeah, no. I think from our side, what we're interested in is your investigation of how this process got stalled, how the SSA then does the actual vetting. I think that's another process.
Yeah. In terms of our own process, I'm quite hopeful that within a 2 to 3 period we'll have that finalized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Now that's good.
We will share the outcome of the investigation with the committee.
Great.
Because I think it's important that we do that.
Sure.
Chair, what I want to suggest is let's attach dates to that, because I don't want double 2 to 3 weeks. Let's agree that on this day, we do have calendars here, we can look at 3 weeks, and we should know as to when are we getting that report.
I'm just, you know, Comrade Kikan, I hear you. In 2 to 3 weeks, I'll be in Mangaung. Where will you be? That's right. So, you know, I'm taking into account the fact that we'll be on, you know, on recess. But can it be that when we reopen in January, we should at least have the report? I'm not saying they must submit it in January, but if they finish in 2 to 3 weeks' time, submit it to Dombi and Mr. Ben here, and we should, when we reopen it, should be on our desk. Can that be fine? Yeah, I'm just thinking it will be. So it's fine. Let us have it that way, and then Comrade Boy.
Good morning, Group CEO. How are you, sir? The one of our honorable members have outlined that we expect most answers from you. Peter doesn't have a role in this thing. He just have to keep quiet and observe. That's how the PFMA defined the relationship between Parliament and the entities. The rest are observers. But because also why I'm saying, CEO, you promised us that Transnet media allegations, you are going to give us information. Now, surprise, surprise, I don't know
what to do on this. It's one paragraph. The following companies have been mentioned in lead media emails and are alleged to have received irregular payments from Transnet. Who are these people, Group CEO? Take us through, be honest with us. I know that the citizens have got the story of your board member. That is also part of the media they are supposed to be blaming. And you have not mentioned it yet. The Sunday Times have written stories about all the work that you are doing. Now, I would have expected you, when you say media allegations, you pointed that this is what is happening. If I talk about the China South Rail, I explain the figures and what are the allegations. If I talk about New York, tell McKenzie, what do we mean? It can't be just a general statement. And that's what is accountability to Parliament means. And can you take us through, Noske, Group CEO? Give us who are involved in all these things and who is being investigated. Because these members, as they sit here, they want the truth and the truth only.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm trying to navigate through this maze of companies. Yeah, that's what I was looking
at. It is a compendium of the internal investigation being conducted as detected in various newspaper articles.
Okay.
That's where I'm starting to look.
No, that's fine.
After he has given me information for last week.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think as indicated at the last meeting, there are various allegations that have been made against a number of companies, some that do business with Transnet, some that don't do business with Transnet. We have provided a compendium, and we have taken into account...
What is a compendium?
It's a complete list of what we know in terms of what has been...
I can't even pronounce that word, but thanks for the explanation.
I would like to ask the committee that at the time when the investigations are complete, that we come back to the committee to share with the committee the reports. At the moment, there are various investigations that are in progress. The paragraph that the Honourable Member refers to merely refers to the companies themselves. The investigation, in as far as different companies, is in various stages of completion, probably save for the SEP. South Africa investigation, where we already have the final report in terms of that, but the others we don't have the final report. So I would like that we come back to the committee to indicate in terms of each one of them there are various issues.
I actually would have loved to have thought you would go that route.
Yes.
And say to us, I've listed these companies. These are the allegations against each one of them. And then the last part be where you are ending.
Yes.
I would have sympathy with that.
Okay.
So that we have a sense of what is it that you are investigating.
Yes, and I can run through that quickly.
Sure.
in terms of Cat House, Cutting Edge, Commerce and Sahara Computers, there were reports in Amapungane.
Sahara Computers, related to the Guptas.
Yes.
Yeah, no, okay.
I wanted to know that. No, Chair. I want to be captured.
That's fine.
Okay. SEP, Cat House, Cutting Edge, Commerce, and Sahara Computers. The allegations were contained in News 24, The Business Day, The Sunday Times, Amapungane. It says that documents in the hands of the media show that SEP paid a company called Cat House a 10% commission to get contracts from Transnet. They agreed this in August 2015, according to the documents. Cat House is indirectly owned by members of the Gupta family and Duduzane Zuma, the president's son. Cat House was tasked with winning the contracts, ensuring payment, and helping manage the relationship with Transnet. Documents from the Gupta leaks showed that Cat House in August 2015 signed a contract with SEP, in which it was promised a 10% commission for getting SEP a contract of at least 100 million with Transnet. Separate documents show that Cat House received payments worth 99 million from SEP over the course of 2016. Did Transnet sign any contracts with SEP between August 2015 and end 2016? And what were their values? What is Transnet's comment on the allegation that Cat House received kickbacks? Business News, 31 October 2017. Cutting Edge and Chobi's names emerge again when reports surface about SEP paying Gupta Link company Cat House a kickback to secure a Transnet business. Of the 73.7 million amount paid by SEP to Cat House, Amapungane reported 71 had gone out to three companies in the Sahara Group, namely Cutting Edge, Future Tech, and Sahara Systems. So that's one allegation involving a number of companies that have been indicated there. The other one in Amapungane News 24 is that Zestilo had been given a contract to supply IT services to Transnet without proper tender processes being followed, and that Zestilo turned out to be owned by the wife of Gupta Lieutenant Salim Issa, with funds channeled back to the computer company Sahara. Then the third one, Software AG entered into an apparent kickback agreement with the Gupta-controlled company in an attempt to secure a 180 million contract from Transnet. Software AG agreed to pay GSF up to 35% of the value of the contract it secured with Transnet, with the Department of Correctional Services, with the Mangaung municipality, with Sasol and MultiChoice. Gupta Sahara Systems was in the process of buying into GSS, an IT service company at the time. On the Transnet deal, GSS was potentially agreeing to pay 27 million to Sensational Finds as a finder's fee. In May 2016, Sahara Systems sold its 50% stake in GSS to Future Tech, which at the time was owned by Imtiaz Emanali and Femida Alibai. The fourth allegation, Transnet's 50 billion locomotive acquisition has been questioned about an alleged 5.3 billion rand in kickbacks received from China South Rail by Tequesta Group, a company allegedly belonging to a Gupta associate. The fifth one is a crane contract. The allegation is that Transnet bought seven cranes because a Chinese state-owned supplier inflated the price to pay off the Guptas, a kickback contract shows, according to the allegations. When Transnet awarded the contract, the cranes were worth no more than $81 million, but the PMC inflated the price to $92 million to make room for commissions and fees, it is alleged. The entities involved there is company called Liba, ZPMC, and JJT. The sixth one relates to the pension fund of Transnet. Transnet has been accused of appointing a Gupta-related company, Regiments, to handle the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund as fund managers, The allegation further states that regiments misappropriated at least $232 million from Transnet with the company's blessings. The media has also raised questions on why Transnet would enter into an interest rate swap that caused it to pay considerably more than it should have in interest payments. This matter is sub judice and it's before the courts as we speak. So in all of these instances, there are internal forensic investigations that are continuing. On the 1064 contract, there is a board-led process that is dealing with that particular matter, and we are advised that there will be a report by the middle of December relating to that. On the SEP, as I've indicated, that investigation has been completed. No wrongdoing was found on the part of Transnet or Transnet employees, but that there were three employees within SEP South Africa itself that SEP was going to do additional investigations on. They have given us a report in terms of their findings, and the issues relate to their own sort of commission structures in terms of how SEP does business with entities. On a number of the issues, the internal forensic investigations are continuing within Transnet, and I think at an appropriate time, Chair, when these reports are to hand, we would like to share them with you in whatever manner that you would deem fit and appropriate.
Yes, Comrade.
The first part was trying to prove to you that the report that was provided last week by that gentleman, which had big pages that you provided in Parliament, had nothing to say about these things. They were talking about car theft, hijacking, and what, but they couldn't tell us about the issues that are beginning to be. Why would Parliament be misled? GCO, why would you allow wrong information to be submitted to Parliament? So that the small price that he was busy mentioning of 150, 1050, are the ones that have been brought to our attention. This type of way, where you have even gone a step ahead of even saying that they finished your investigation, you have not been able to draw us and bring it to the parliamentary attention. And more than that, you see, that's why we've got the hawks in our midst. Why wouldn't you report these things to the hawks? So that you have a sense that you can't be the one who charge yourself and take decisions about yourself. You can't arrive at that. That's not fair justice. How did you come to that? That you wouldn't take the institution that is of importance, the legislators, into confidence. We have to start digging now.
No, thank you very much. Through you, Chair. The information that was shared last week related in the main to events that happened or that we were aware of as of the 31st of March 2017, which is the end of the financial year. Subsequent to year end, they have then emerged these media reports. In the main, most of them arose from around July of this year, and they've been incremental in nature. All of the media allegations that have been made, we've made it a point that each one of them, as they arise, we report them to the police. So there are cases that would then be opened as a result of each of the...
don't mind them. It is the working class doing their work.
Yeah, so in each instance, whenever a media allegation emerged, Honourable Member, we have made sure that that matter, as an allegation as it is, gets reported to the police. On a number of these instances, we have also had members of the special investigation investigating unit come to visit our offices to deliberate and discuss on these matters. These matters are all at different levels of investigations by the authorities. We are quite hopeful and confident that the authorities will make sure that those issues are dealt with. But as a matter of course, and as we continue with the investigations, and if we find additional information, we also share that particular information. On the 1064, to be specific, I am aware that the SIU has been to my offices to discuss some of these issues, Chair.
Killing the hearing of the bourgeoisie. The bourgeoisie doesn't hear properly, Chapman. Working class is disrupted. It's employed to sabotage us.
Chairperson, maybe it's time we join them and finish the job up.
But with great respect to what you are saying, it's Bongo. He's busy bribing them.
Please. Continue.
No, I'm just fighting.
Chair,
GCOA, you know what you are telling us is news to us. You're not telling us the truth. Last week, what you have written to Parliament, I'm not talking about your own conversation with yourself. You said the Special Oversight Committee, what comprises, and then you told us about Bergman's attorneys, and you told us about special forensic. You don't tell us about the Hawks and the SIU and the police. You didn't say that, and even when they're doing a report, you don't say that again. What's going on with you, GCO? What are the issues with the police and you, or the Hawks? Why wouldn't you report these matters directly to them? What is the problem? I'm just working out the framework. I can deal with the details. I'll tell you the cases. But I'm just saying you are able to report the working class, the low end of your departments. All of them, their case numbers in the big file that were presented by Peter. But you can't report Peter and your chairperson of the board. What did your chairperson of the board do for the 1 million that they're not talking to? Which was written by the cities. Because all these things are standing out as allegations.
Yeah. The 1 million that you relate to an entity called Trillion Holdings, Trillion Capital Partners, Trillion Asset Managers. We have seen those reports, and it's also a matter that is under investigation. In terms of
That is the board chairperson.
No. I
want to hear about the board chairperson also.
Okay. And it's not the board chairperson. The 1 million that you indicated was the chairperson of a committee of the board. Mr. Shane. It's one of the matters that is still under investigation. We have not concluded that particular matter, but it is a matter that I've indicated in the list in terms of allegations that have been made. The in the main, maybe it's because of our proximity to the Hillbrow police station. A lot of the cases get reported in the Hillbrow police station. I will ask. We haven't reported any matters directly to the Hawks per se, although we do have matters that the Hawks, in fact, are dealing with. But these ones, as we're still doing the investigations, they will probably be elevated in the light of whatever the outcome of the investigation becomes. But we don't have any issues at all with dealing with the Hawks. there's no problems with Transnet.
No, I'm raising your, bringing to your attention that you have asked for an extensive meeting next week. I'll be able to engage with the company. You see, the information is reading out now. It's only contained with him. It would have been far better if we had given all that information so that we could have checked for ourselves all the allegations versus those companies.
Okay.
So I wanted you to tell me what to do.
All right. No. But comrades, you know, we have been working under these conditions for some time now, with whatever repairs or whatever work is being done by Parliament. So, no, I don't know. I want to check with comrades if we have further questions. But my take and my understanding is that there are media allegations that have been made, it's public, and they're just that. They are allegations. Until they are investigated and concluded. And what I think I would like to push the committee in that direction is to appreciate the fact that Transnet comes to us and say, we are doing something, we are investigating. And when those investigations are done, then the outcomes will be shared with us. We'll come back, and they'll talk to us, and we'll be able to engage further. Currently, we can only talk about what is in the media and not what has actually been proven to be fact. So, but Comrade Kuno, you had your hand up. Come back to you. Ross, was your hand up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, no, Kuno, and then professor.
I wish I was as lenient like you, Chairperson, but I'm not. I was worried when the group CEO said, whenever there are media allegations, is mentioned, then they take it to the police. That's where my problem is. We cannot have the media supervising Transnet. Transnet cannot wait for media allegations for them to act on a particular matter. At what point do line managers do their job? So, you know, you can see that there are lots of dysfunctional matters within Eskom. And
Transnet
also. And the power does not hold, Chairperson. But I wanted to talk about the first report that he spoke to. Are there any officials dismissed or suspended from the allegations and the fact that you are still trying to investigate the thick fire that you are speaking of, the investigations? Have you dismissed it? Because we are interested in consequence management. But again, Chairperson, we have the hawks at the back. And maybe towards the end, we need to give them chance and let them tell us how many cases have come from Transnet, and how many of those or the progress of those cases. Thanks.
Chairperson, yes, I would like just to give my support to, in terms of concern, to the Honourable Gwen. The process is certainly very strange. First of all, we were presented by the huge documents, which is the trivial offences, and we weren't alluded to the fact that there's major ramifications at the upper echelons. But Chairperson, in terms of the process, firstly, the process seems to me as if, firstly, it's an internal forensic investigation. Internal. It's not external. It's within the company. And secondly, it's a board-led process. And then if we look at the further processes, you had engagements with the SIU. Engagements, what specific engagements or what actions were followed is not disclosed to us. I understand it's sub judice. But then certainly the fourth point that you've made, it's not reported to the Hawks. I'm not quite sure if the process is results driven to get to consequence management. And I, Chairperson, I think as a committee we have to take a decision how we involve the law enforcement agencies in this. How do we extend these investigations to the law enforcement agencies? And I believe the Honourable Boy is quite correct to say that currently, it's, if I can summarize it, for me, I get the sense all investigations are being done in-house. It is certainly not good enough in terms of action steps, and I think us, we as a committee have the obligation to say this is how we're going to extend it to the law enforcement agencies, and this is how we're going to drive these allegations, because it's certainly very, very serious allegations, and it seems to fit into a certain trend of state capture. Thank you.
All right, Convict Boy.
No, why I was listening to you personally, to Chairperson, is that Ross' final point is correct, that the heart is the problem. It is about computers and transfer. And I'm not even sure that how Transnet in itself would be able to handle that matter, because you do know that the President has not signed anything that is going to investigate this matter. But there is precedent in Parliament, where Parliament in itself takes full responsibility of investigating a matter to get more clarity. Now, I don't know which one will make sense to you than allowing Transnet to come to you after it has misled you twice. Transnet has misled us. Last week, they said there's press allegations. This week, it's just the GCO. Yes, only one has got information of what is going on. None of us as Parliament has any paperwork, even you as our chairperson. There's nothing in writing in front of you. Now, that type of a relationship talks to what Ross is saying, that Transnet is quite happy to investigate itself and come to decision of its own nature. It's got no regard for other institutions, no respect for them, no respect for Parliament. It doesn't even care about the executive. It even violates the decisions of the executive. So how do you trust such an institution? How do you give responsibility to the GCO and his board? Because when these allegations are coming up, they're supposed to have alerted all the institutions that are of responsibility. They don't care about Parliament. And if ever we allow this thing to hang around with them, they will continue not care about Parliament. You'll wait until nobody comes back. That's the reality of that situation. And I'm saying to you, until we have to go out and start asking, what's wrong with Transnet? It's how the information is coming in clips and clips. It doesn't come in full. Because the GCOS doesn't even tell us how much money is he talking about these different companies. And that information you are going to say to us, let's wait for 3 to 4 years again for him to come back. We can't be run by Transnet as Parliament. We are legislators of our own. And we've got our own rules here, Chairperson. Can't you call for an investigation by Parliament into this matter? Because he alluded that they are being investigated. He alluded that the media is having them every week and every day on the newspapers. But there is substance in what they're going to be able to debate next week. I can link it up to what National Treasury has done versus the Chinese companies. There's fact to that. We've gone to $17 billion now to deal with the Chinese contract and what is going on there. But you said we should not prioritize that today. But I'm just saying, you can't say, let's wait for Transnet. I'm totally against that one. Can Parliament institute its own investigation into all the allegations that have been made against Transnet? And that mandate, I'm very sorry about you, Chair. You know that for a matter of fact, that the House Chair has written to all committees that what you come across into allegations against certain departments in your preview to take those matters very seriously. Not what the GCOS is expecting of us to start smart. No, not that one. That he can do when it's money of his own house. But where the fiscal is involved, where the people are involved in their own money, with a huge budget that is running, you say to him, have your own good time. You have got experience with Berkman. You have got experience with Berkman that
We've got crisis in Prasa because of Erasmus. Now you can sit there and if you ignore this type of development, they are very serious, Chairperson. Either SCOPA decides to take that, it takes this matter up and it calls for an investigation, a full investigation, and we do an application ourselves to the speaker and we get involved in this matter. We run parallel processes with Transnet. We can't be seated here and be led by Transnet on a situation where even Peter himself and everyone there has been appointed by the Guptas. Those allegations are there and this is what has been made by the media.
Okay. Ross? I want us to
yes.
to round this one.
No, Chairperson,
yeah.
I'd just like to support the proposal that a full parliamentary investigation needs to be done in terms of this. We are talking of massive, massive amounts of money. And we cannot have an excellent performance on the one hand where you report a 44% in terms of profit margins, which is a consistent profit margin from the previous year, which is an exceptional achievement. And you have a 60 billion rand turnover institution, and that is now being undermined by some dubious contracts. I think in terms of the contracts, we need a full investigation. I would like to support the Honourable Boy fully in his proposal. Thank you.
Anyone?
No, Chair. I don't have a problem. I'm in full support of the investigation, the parliamentary inquiry. But I think before we arrive at that point, let us, the SCOPA here first, probe these matters so that we can do justice to that proposal and enable a parliamentary inquiry to speak from a basis of a parliamentary pre-investigation. Like I said earlier on this morning, Chair, the file you've received this morning, if it's anything to go by, we are going to be stuck with Transnet like co-joined twins, like we did with correctional services, like we've done with USASA. Because I said last week, Chair, for so long as the attitude of the leadership of Transnet is that he's fair, then we're going to respond in kind by investigating and probing. It's still there even today, it's still there. So, Chair, I'm going to suggest that maybe let us, in pursuing the parliamentary inquiry, after next week, see how far we go, and then dedicate, I would imagine, January and Feb to Transnet, even if it means we suspend all other business, because I'm adamant, I'm very sure, after what I've read in between last week and last night, and what I've seen this morning, would... There's no smoke without fire. I know we will see one. The problem is there. But let's do a pre-investigation so that we can do justice to that proposal. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Thanks. I want us to round this one off. Comrade Boy, do you have something to say on this matter?
You know, Chairperson, that myself and my colleagues will always have a good spirit of how do we agree. So that we need to explain what is the pre and the capacity of ours, finding that pre and sorting it out.
Sure.
So that by next week we should be able to get into the more detail.
Okay.
Can the chairperson of Transnet give us all the details that he was busy singing them this morning? Submit so that we can begin to go into the details.
The allegations.
Yes.
Okay.
Starting as allegations, we'll come to make facts out of it.
Yeah, no. For now they are allegations.
I think it's cool. It's allegation, but there's fact. We are going to prove that fact. Just
okay.
Let's get the information.
Oh, great. I think if you can share with us those parts that, because I think you get these scattered reports from time to time, but I think if they're all put together, then our minds are focused. So when we engage later, any of your reports, we can be able to say, okay, these were the allegations, how does this report talk to this, and all that. I think that will just for our information, we'll find and wait for... I do accept, CEO, that the the allegations have been made subsequent to year end. The financial year ended in March, and
because of the noise, I can see everybody straining his neck and ear. Can you just speak up? Don't be influenced by the loveliness you see around the house. Accept us that we're ugly, but talk to us.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to be a bit louder. No, I'm saying that, no, it's fine. So let's have the that part on the allegations. So we have them in our file. So when we talk later, we can always link, refer. And I was saying that I do accept that indeed the issues of the allegations have happened subsequent to year end. And today, at least, we have gone into the details of the allegations. So we have a sense of what it is that you are reporting. I do think that, I think, comrades, we have institutionalized our relationship with the Hawks. We just need to tighten a few things in terms of how we're able to engage beyond here, to say how do we take matters forward and how do we then get feedback that says to us there is motion, there is movement on the issues. General Ma Takata, I hope, and I think, Ben, is something we may need to look into going forward, that, maybe we should have said, well, we're engaging Trustnet today. Can you check in your inbox what do you have with Trustnet and where are we? So that as we're talking and we're told cases sent to the Hawks, you can then be able to corroborate and say, this is what I have, this is where we are. In that sense, I think it then assists us to have a sense, especially on this area that is our greatest challenge around consequence management, especially insofar as it relates to criminality, where criminality has been mentioned. Yeah, finally.
Yes. I just wanted to persuade you, I'm sorry, Chairperson, to ask National Treasury, how much information do they have about these allegations through procurement? Because I do know that in the submission, in the letters that they have sent, they have an involvement. So they've been authorizing the Chinese deal himself, between Peter and himself, and so many committees inside there. There's been good relationships. That's why these deviations are skyrocketing. But I'm not going to deviation. I'm just saying, let's get a sense from National Treasury. We'll send that list of people or names that have been made and get the information that how much does National Treasury knows about this particular environment as part of our pre-investigations, Chairperson.
All right. Anyway, we're having National Treasury next week. They'll be here. Comrade Chilwa.
Chairperson, while Honorable Boy has talked about the National Treasury, I think there were still outstanding reports in terms of the investigation in relation to Transnet, which I remember last time when we met with Transnet, the minister said the report will be readily available in a few months to come. Maybe, I don't know if the department is here to be able to abreast ourselves in terms of the progress in that regard. I don't know whether it's the department who's supposed to tell us where is the report or its treasure. Because I think it is fundamentally correct that we get that report before we talk about anything that, like issues which were raised by Honorable Boy. You know, I have a problem, Comrade Boy, because I want, in terms of our culture, I'm supposed to refer you with your family. So No problem, Chano, which is Nyani, it's the same name of all right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Chairperson, I just wanted to bring to that forward that we get that report of the investigation, Chairperson. Maybe it will be able to assist us on the issues that have been raised here, the annual report.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think we should get that report from National Treasury. National Treasury that was doing the report. So I'm saying it is National Treasury that was doing the report. This thing is far away from me today. I don't understand why it is far. No, it's National Treasury. I think we'll, in engaging them about next week, also seek to find out how far they are, what have they done, so that we can also have that leg tied down. Right?
Chairperson, I get your response as National Treasury. But you remember when the minister said she's expecting that report sooner?
Yeah, no. What was supposed to happen was to assist in facilitating documentation to National Treasury
so that
they can then compile the report.
Okay.
All right. So I think Group CEO, of these matters that are being investigated, I would imagine that they are not going to be tied down on the same day. Some will be finalized sooner than others. Do we more or less have a sense of within what time period have we set for ourselves to have these matters finalized?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think just to emphasize on what you said, that when the allegations have been made and when the matters are founded, then we are able to report on them. When they are still in investigation, unfortunately, we are not able to. But we want to assure the committee that as soon as the information is available, we'll do so. I would say that a lot of the matters will probably be finalized during January coming. I wouldn't say which ones, because what happens in an investigation, as you dig deeper, you might find that you need to do some additional work, so it becomes difficult. But I think a lot of the matters will probably be finalized in January, and then some of them will be finalized much later than that.
You know, why don't you do this, GCO, which I think can assist us, so that Ben can pin it on his wall.
Yeah.
Just send us a letter and say, these are the investigations that we're doing, number one, number two, number three, number four, so we can very easily keep track and say, these are the things that you are investigating, and then we can tick as and when each one of them is present. And
I think that would be an appropriate thing for us to do. And we'll share with you, and as and when the reports are completed, we'll also indicate that these ones are now completed.
Great.
I do hope between yourself and GCOS, you have read the statement that you made last week. He said Transnet has noted with concern recent reports casting aspersion on the integrity of the company's governance process, especially relating to procurement. The allegation of payments between our suppliers and third parties under the pretext of winning business with Transnet are of grave concern. I'm just saying there's substance. It seems as if they've got it. So what he needs to provide is that type of just nature of an information. We don't want to hear the address of this house is here. We want to hear the allegations made. Straightforward. That this is where this one, Mr. So-and-so got a kickback, and this is who is Mr. So-and-so. He's employed at this level of responsibility, and this is how. He's a board chairperson, and he took a million.
That type of information is what we are looking for, Chair. Because this is what the group CEO have already said, that he's got that information. Rather than him dragging us through generality and say this is media allegation.
All right.
He must not reprint the statement. He must give us what he has in solid in front of him.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I want us to communicate. Are you settled? No. So you are not settled. Okay. No, that's fine. Saying what? You are locked out. Because of next week. Yeah, no. I'm saying that the matters that you had prepared yourself have now been shifted to next week. So whatever you. I wanted us to look at a little bit on this big spreadsheet. And I think it relates to a regular expenditure. Last week there were specific cases that you took us through your CFO to just try and give context and clarify on matters. But you see, as I was going through it this morning, I think it just, raises more questions than answers. Arises for me, and the concern that I have. Of course, Transnet is a huge company, but it is this continuous non-compliance where officials would exceed contract value or would contract without permission or without following processes. And I don't know how vis-a-vis the turnover of Transnet and the number of contracts that you engage in throughout, how material these are. But, for us as a committee, any individual incident, to the extent that you would have procured, you would have paid through processes that do not fully comply with the legislation, is a matter of concern. And had looked at two incidents. One of 10 million, the other one of, I think it's 20 million. And the official is the same. One Bertrand Duplessis. And it's a pity they're not paged, so I'm not sure how I will. But from the beginning, it is page 1, 2, 3. It's page 4. Somewhere towards the end, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 from the bottom. The third page, Transnet Freight Rail, Transnet Freight Rail. If you look at the transaction dates, all of them is the 31st of March, which is the year end, 31st of March this year. The rent value on that, on the first one, is 10,319,000, and the other one is 20,273,000. And all of them is about confinement process not being followed. The company is the same, if I'm reading well. Blazer South Africa.
Sorry, Chair, they are numbered. They are numbers on the side.
Is it?
From number one, is, if you look at extreme.
Extreme left.
Yes.
No, not this one. It has operating division, and then it has quarter reported. This is the one I have. But I'm saying the two that I've mentioned, it's all on the same day, the last day of the year, the same official. But I'm also looking at, you know, consequence management throughout. If I had this numbered, I'll read for you, because I have them all marked here and in all the other pages. Instances that I feel do not give me peace of mind that we actually are really tightening the screws around the need for senior managers or for managers, divisional managers or heads. To follow processes, and when that has not happened, to say we are indeed taking substantive action, you know, because when I went through this, I felt this could be sufficient for a hearing on its own, so that we're able to go through each of these substantive cases and find out why do we allow people to resign before the cases are sit, and then we say no, we have reported this to the police. I just want to get a sense, you know, and I know it is a huge leap to say let's just give a broad perspective when there are specific incidences that just do not give. Just do not give comfort. You see, here's another one, 58. Yeah, 58 or 50 million. You know. So I'm just saying, on the whole, without going into each of these, how do we have peace of mind that people don't benefit their friends? You know, it is fine if you have benefited the Guptas, then everyone is going to chase after it. But if you have benefited people whose surname is not Gupta, then it's fine. They can loot and loot as much as long as they have the right surname. I'm just saying. I think that is what I would. You can go through each one of these, but I think for me, that is what comes out. Maybe I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. Let me allow comrades to allow comrades to ask questions.
Chair, it's hard to settle deal with matters of deviation next week. But you see, if you look at Treasury and between Treasury and Transnet, and a contract of what they call equestrian security services, and how they got it, and how they collaborate between Treasury and themselves. This small problem that you see is because Treasury had agreed with them as Transnet. Even at a small, even at writing of the contract, they got it from Treasury Chairperson. How they run their security system is based between the contract between between Transnet and Treasury. This is what is amazing with these deviations. That the soul, like if ever, I'll just show you, Chairperson, the contract made provision for ad hoc services. This is what the GCO was trying to explain last week. And the provision of additional services during times of line shutdown, train derailment, community unrest, and times when there is an increase in crime incidents. And Treasury approves those type of operations on huge amounts. So security in terms of itself within that environment is a huge business. It's very huge. I'm just bringing it to you that these 10 million you see, when you deal with deviation, you find that these are peanuts.
No, very true. I mean, here, as you're talking, I'm looking at this one, 153 million. And then they say the technical security manager, what have they done? They're organizing a workshop by supply chain. Exco fraud and risk management were held with all staff from Corporate Affairs Department. 153 million. And this, when was it done? 31st March 2017, last day of the year, of the financial year. It can't be. It can't be. And then prior to the hearing, the employee suddenly resigned. 153. Surely, I'm a poor MP. I'm sure if I can get 10% of that, I'll go and farm at home. So I'm saying, CEO, I think when you look at these things, they don't give comfort, or they just create that feeling of discomfort that, no, man, we can and should do better. And especially when you go to the sanctions and say, but what are we doing to these people? At least we're not saying they must be hanged, because there is no death penalty anymore. They will still keep their lives. But surely, we should be able to take measures that demonstrate that these things don't belong here. You know, at some point, I would like them to talk to us, you know.
Got them the whole day. No, I'm saying, Chairperson, one of the things that I my reading here, the General Council has approved the payment for the irregular expenditure. To regularize the transaction is attached. The following points must be noted. Disciplinary action has been taken against the employee. The employee was given written warning of irregular award of contract, and the value did not exceed treasury threshold. This you find within the information about deviation. So what I was trying to check with you, Chairperson, wouldn't you want us to combine the two so that we do a presentation that is more? Well, this information is not on its own. It might be in the huge pages that it is. That's what Peter does as a strategy to confuse people. But you can combine it with the deviation so that you could be able to deal with one presentation. That's why you will remain confused there, that Chair. We're looking for consequences where there's collaboration between institutions, like a syndicate being run between Treasury and Transnet, on the basis that the deviations must remain inflated to $94 billion so that they can benefit all those that are benefiting from this arrangement. So I'm pleading with you, can we postpone this meeting until next week? I'm presenting that to the committee so that you combine these presentations with this huge page of Peter that he uses to abuse our people.
All right. Comrade Kuno, I've heard you, Comrade Boy.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm sorry I'm looked down because this paper is just way too big for me. I'm too short, yeah. Okay. Chairperson, the questions that you've been asking and what Comrade Boy has been asking, it takes us back to the same matter that we started with. But why are you defending supply chain so much to the fact that and make sure that they are not vetted? It means it's a way of looting, and they collide with each other to make sure that, it's money-making scheme. So that's why they are protecting them. I'll point to why I'm saying that, to you why I'm saying that. 2.3 million, the bidder process not followed, and what happens to the official? Rashman Naidu was given 12 months written warning. And you go on and on as you have been doing. The consequence management are not there because, Chairperson, it's a collusion. It's a collusion of officials trying to make making Transnet their own money-making scheme. That is why you find that, you know, the procedures are not followed, tenders being exceeded, you write them a written warning, you decide to close it. What is that? The matter closed on the basis that both instructions were accountable managers. What is that? How do you give such a... Why are we stalling? Why are we killing this government, Chairperson?
All right. No, that's fine. I think Comrade Kekan, I want us to close this down. Chair, let me support the suggestion from Honorable Boy, because I did an analysis, a thorough analysis of this and also the deviations and the answers that we got in the last meeting. Now, you remember I told you that unfortunately I can't get my Now, if there is a proposal that we maybe postpone, that is this part, so that in the next meeting I have a summary that is of all those issues, so that we can deal with them in a more structured way. Because right now we are dealing with this part there, that part there. That would be my request, Chair.
Can I get a suggestion?
Ross, let me hear the other Free State.
Yes,
Chairperson, I support the proposal, but I would just like to request whether we can ask a few questions on the accruals and put that to bed, and at least we've done the accruals.
Right, that's what Komal Kuno.
Just to add on what the colleagues have said in terms of that meeting next week. Chairperson, if you remember when we started this term, fifth term, we said that as long as Ntabise Mkuno is still alive and she's still in the employ of state or somewhere else, but wherever she was deployed or where she was working, she misappropriated funds or did whatever that they did, they should come and appear before the committee. And I don't think we are taking that stand seriously. I want to suggest that as we are postponing these issues, these matters to next week, all these officials, I mean 8.3 million contract exceeded and the employer decided to leave Transnet, we must trace where they are next week. If they don't come here, or maybe write to them, Chairperson, they need to come and account. This is public funds. It's not their own funds. They have to come and account. They are not dead. And we'll find that these people are employed somewhere else in government and will forever have this chain. You know, this is the time that we need to blacklist people in government. And this is, I'm calling on to that Chairperson, that if they need to trace those people where they are, and we need to have a day where they will come before Parliament and answer to this question.
Okay. Thanks. Right. No, that's fine. You know what I would like us to do, CEO? I might have been a bit slow, but I think CFO, let's go and relook at the list that is here. Unfortunately, I would like you to go and look at each and every transaction that you have put here. Because I think what we'll need from you is accountability and justification of decisions taken in relation to transactions that have not followed proper processes. And what your reading of these are, so that we can satisfy ourselves that as management, you are dealing with these matters, and or, if not, for you to appreciate where Parliament stands vis-a-vis these matters, and the level and the extent with which I've said last week, Transnet is doing well, it is good, it is one of our bright stars, we would like to keep it that way. It must not be like teams, Pirates and Chiefs. They were once good, but now you don't even know where they are. you need to maintain and sustain. that standard. And it means that we cannot afford to lower our guards and to appreciate that for us to reach a particular level, we need a particular mindset. But for us to sustain ourselves there, we need a different mindset. Even better, to even move from there to another higher level, we'll need a completely new set of perspectives. The old ones that got us where we are cannot sustain us there. So we need to be dynamic in our approach. We need a dialectical approach to issues of management, life itself, governance, everything. If it's not dialectical, then you're moving backwards. Because time is dialectical, it moves. So when you stop, it leaves you behind. So I would like us to talk to this. And I think what we'll be trying to do, CEO, is to try and say, look at yourselves, look at where Parliament is, and what are Parliament's expectations. Is there a gap? If there's a gap,
let's close it. If we're on the same level, fine, let's move forward. I think that's the most important thing. So let's come back and talk to this matter.
I'm still pursuing that we need to have names of those officials who have left Transnet to go and, I mean, it cannot be left like that. And names should be attached to all this. And the justification, I agree with you, we need to have that justification. But for us to close this, we have to be satisfied that we have done everything we could in terms of these investigations and make sure that there are consequence management. We can't say this today and tomorrow we change it.
No. I'm with you. My understanding is that the responsible officials' names are also part of the engagement, the discussion, and where these are. So no. We're together. Can we handle that way? So CFO, let's just go and do some revision on this. Let's refresh our minds, because I would love us to deal with specifics and not deal with issues at a generic level. I think that is what would give me a peace of mind. That's what I was trying to do now, because I was really frustrated. So can we leave it at that? CEO?
No, I understand. I just don't want us to, when we get back together, we are reading three different pages and we're not reading from the same page. And I think your critical realist philosophy around it is quite important, because I think for us, we're saying these matters are here because something went wrong. And we need to deal with it, and we need to make sure that there's no repeat of these things, and that every year we must improve and minimize them until the list says nil, which is the ultimate goal. But maybe you could guide us in terms of what you have there. We've shown you the names, we've shown you what actually happened, and we've shown you consequence. But I think there's some more info that you are saying you require other than what we have, so that we can then reprint. We say under irregular expenditure, we send you a fresh report, fruitless and wasteful, a fresh report, criminal, a fresh report. Is that what we are talking about?
No. The information that you have supplied here is sufficient.
Is it sufficient?
I think what we'll be dealing with will be justification.
Okay.
Especially of action taken.
Okay.
And
so more on the consequence management.
More on the consequence management, because the information, I think, sufficiently details our main concern. That's why I gave examples of you have an official who in one day is involved in two transactions of such huge amounts. And what is the consequence? A workshop has been organized. Or this, and the official suddenly resigned, and that's the end of it. I think it is at that. The information is fine, it's detailed. I'm happy with it. Right, Comrade Kekane, Comrade Boy.
Chair, over and above what you're saying, maybe to assist the that is the CEO, some of the reasons given, to be honest, they are not, they don't make sense. Let me use that. I'm saying, go back and look at the reasons given. Because as I'm saying, I did a thorough analysis on the whole thing. You see, look at the reasons given, and look at that is the offenses, and as the chair is saying, even the penalty. So that when we engage on these issues, because the impression that I have now is it was just malicious compliance, that you guys, you knew that you are coming here, and you then quickly compiled that is a report. Now, we are giving you an opportunity to go back, look at the reasons that we are putting before Parliament, and let's deal with substantive issues. that is the addition that we need to look at.
All right. Okay. Comrade Boy, lastly.
You see, GCO, you offered us half leg, half leg there. You see, if you deal with your press allegations that are related, but if you deal with T-Systems, there is a contract. There are allegations, not just made by media, but they are factual. Now, you need to link that to it. You need to deal with Siangoba or sequestral security companies where you've been dismissing and getting authorization from the National Treasury. Mention that. So that there's a combination of information with what is in the deviation, with what you are making as allegations, that you say it's media allegations. So that when we deal with you next week, we are able to handpick all this information and be consistent that these are Transnet's problems and we need to deal with them. For me, that's a sequence. But then you don't have for us to deal with deviation. Whilst if you have never dealt with anybody that have taken money through the T-Systems and through the kickbacks, say so, that nobody, everybody's innocent, everybody's God, and everybody's innocent. And then you don't have that, but we will investigate them ourselves and come back to you. But if ever you have, in what you said, they have summarized and there are people you have found to be guilty, can you put it in? So that we don't deal with hijacking as a major problem, but you don't deal with the source of the problem and how you have make your contracts versus your own people in the security industry there.
All right.
So help us to be able to do, and we'll deal with it next week.
Okay. Ross, you wanted to ask something on accruals?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think we can conclude in 10 minutes if
sure.
That's not efficient for you.
No,
so I'll run through it very
fast.
Because I think we've dealt with the focus area that we would like to focus on, the accrued expenditure of about 12.3 billion. I can pose the questions to the CFO, if I may. Is that correct? Yes. Now, in your detailed breakdown of accruals, which I appreciate, I think it is... It's just to give us some clarity with regards to what has really happened there, especially with your notes with regards to the number A. So we're focusing on that 12.3 billion, including an accrued expenditure in CAPEX, related creditors of 5.8 billion. Now that 5.4 with regards to the 1,064 locomotive contracts, is that correct? And it's with regards to Bombardier, China South Rail, and China North Rail, and General Electric. Could you perhaps give us, on the next round, just a detailed breakdown on which contracts went to which company? And then is there any concerns with regards to that as accruals in with regards to that? Would you like to just give us, because this is a big number. This is we're talking perhaps in the same vein, 5.8 billion, and then there's also, the 161 million CAPEX creditors, and yeah, you can perhaps just explain the whole number A for us, just give us more context, and then we'll accept that.
Thank you very much, Chair, through you, and thank you, Honourable Member, for the question. I think just to take it from the summary schedule, which explains the total amount, and then break it down for number A and B. The total amount of the accruals is 19.394 billion.
Yes.
Okay, that's the full detailed breakdown. That's as at the end of March.
Yes.
Okay, the bulk of it is 12.3 billion, and it relates to accrued expenditure in total for the entire group.
Yes.
We then give a breakdown by division. And accrued expenditure in terms of the company.
Talk to the mic, please.
Yes. Sorry. Apologies. And accrued expenditure in terms of the Companies Act as well as the International Financial Reporting Standards.
That's fine. I think we've dealt with this. You can just give me the answer on A as I.
Okay. So. On A, if you go into the details of A, you'll see that the majority, 9.366, relates to Transnet Freight Rail. And in the supplementary schedules that we've provided to you, we go into all and every single accrual that makes up the number.
Okay.
And you'll see that the initial set of accruals totaling 780 million rand add up to accruals of expenditure on a monthly basis where actual expenditure was incurred in the month of March, and it might have been prior as well, but it's only due and payable at a later stage. We actually also have provided you with the supplier names in the supplementary schedules, the amounts, as well as the date that it has been paid subsequent to year end.
Okay.
We also have the Standard Bank debtor settlement, which is the 2.7 that's at the bottom. And then the number that you're talking about is on the next page of Transnet Freight Rail's details. We highlight the accruals of 29 million rand for the auditors, internal audit and external audit, for the work done up until the end of March, which needs to be accrued and then paid for subsequently. And we highlight various other suppliers that are part and parcel of work that has in fact been done, some of which is the locomotive contract. So it's not the full 5.4 billion that is just for locomotives, but mainly it relates to the locomotive contracts. In 2014, we awarded to four OEMs, Bombardier Transport, CSR, CNR, and GE, to manufacture 1,064 locomotives. These are then progress payments based on deliveries received at that point in time. So what happens here is you get a milestone, and you have to pay upon achievement of a milestone. So if they have actually achieved a milestone, you accrue for it until it becomes due. So some of these payment terms will be that it will be paid every quarter or every month, depending on signed off acceptance certificates. And that is what you are seeing here. For example, GE would have then delivered certain locomotives to Transnet Freight Rail. Transnet Freight Rail would make payments in April. As you can see, April through to November, those payments have been made. You can see there's a number of 1.616 billion for GE towards the middle of the page. That was then paid through the months of April to November. The same for CSR, 1.186 billion. It was paid through the months of April to November. And that's based on actual locomotive deliveries as well as work in progress at a stage of completion of the contracts. There's also additional amounts that we owe for example, for Eskom and various municipal accounts. That's the account that you get at the end of March that are then paid in April, and we've highlighted that we've paid all of them in April, and various other lease expenses that obviously get paid in the next month. That adds up to the 9.366 billion for Transnet Freight Rail. And the remainder of the group has the amounts included in those A that make up the rest of the 12.3 billion. And they are similar in terms of making sure that the work has actually been done, value has been received, and then we pay in the months thereafter based on the contract.
Okay. So just to follow up, just to clarify, milestones has been set and you've met your targets. There's no default in terms of payment. There's no legal action with regards to any of these accruals towards Transnet yet.
No, these accruals will only be raised if a milestone has in fact been achieved. So we will not, from an accounting point of view, we are not allowed to raise an accrual unless we actually receive benefit from it, and therefore we are obliged to pay.
And all payments according to the milestones has been done?
All the payments that we've accrued for have been paid according to our schedule.
To the schedule. Thank you. That concludes, actually. Thank you.
All right. Unfortunately, this schedule that you have supplied, well, one got it this morning, but it is indeed very detailed. I just have one question, and it's on, I think it's page 3. You have supplier there in red. Right. You see the one that on top there says retention creditors, various suppliers. What are the suppliers on the left? Are they okay? What are those names on the left? Are they suppliers?
Yes, Chair, there are a number of suppliers that are doing various projects for Transnet Freight Rail in this instance, where you actually have to. You would then...
Just wait. Okay. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. That amount relates to...
No, on page 3.
Yes.
I'm on page 3.
Yes, it's the 7 million.
I'm talking about the list on the left. Those are your suppliers. Are they all your suppliers?
Yes, Chair.
Somewhere towards the bottom, I see Sanko. What does Sanko supply to you? Unless if it's another company with a similar name, fourth from the bottom.
Is that Senko that you're saying, Chair?
Yeah.
Senko, all of these that are lumped up there are security contractors, Born to Protect, Isidingo, Service, etc. They are all security suppliers for TFR, and they would then bill for the work done up until March, and then they were all paid in April.
It's not a Civic.
Name of a security company.
Huh? Called Sango. Yeah, no, that clarifies. It still is. Still is. Sango, I had to ask. All right. Che, siyabonga. Siyathokoza. And your team. I think today's meeting has assisted to clarify things a bit and for us to narrow the areas and the focus. And I'm sure that next week will assist us to clarify even further, or it will actually assist you to have the platform to talk to the Parliament and talk to the country and give clarity and confidence that everything is still under control. The Hawks, we thank you very much for being here with us. Maybe what you can do for us next week is to just go check your files and see what are the issues that you have from Transnet. Maybe prepare a progress report and say where are we in relation to each of those matters, so that we could also be satisfied that the matters that are referred to you, you know, have not been thrown into a bottomless pit, but have been thrown into the hands of responsible officials of the state who will act, who will act on them. National Treasurer. Oh, Dun Rufan. Oh, this one's home corner. When they talk of Matebula, I thought he's talking about someone who is in. Oh, all right. So I suppose you had the brief. Okay? So, one, let's get feedback in terms of the report that you're supposed to compile for Transnet. Where are we? Where are you? Two, just refresh yourself on the deviations that you have approved or disapproved in relation to Transnet, so that you can assist us to understand why you came to particular decisions. And then, I think that's what we want from National Treasurer. Okay. Lengwa?
Thanks, Chair. Is it really a list of the vetted people? I would hate for us to live without missing it. We need to know who are those 56 people.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's okay. Do we have that list? Bunny? Kostelele.
Secretary of the committee. Send to the secretary of the committee.
Tombi? You got it? Oh, okay. Tombi has it. Tim, I'll come to you, Comrade Kuno.
Chair, if we're going to engage again, I'd just like to remind the CFO that I asked for the breakdown of the surprise 550 million rand irregular expenditure that was discovered after Goldwater couldn't find it for a couple of years. a breakdown of is that already in your spreadsheet? Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. Comrade Kuno?
Comrade Boy suggested that there should be a probe. I wanted to add on to that and say, Chairperson, I don't know how feasible it is in terms of our time, and I would suggest that we go on oversight trip to Transnet, and when we are there, concentrate on the supply chain. Go and talk to those people in the supply chain as part of the probing,
oversight.
And we do this, yes, and we do it as soon as possible.
Okay, oversight. I would like to visit you. I mean, you visit us here in Parliament. Surely, it wouldn't be a bad thing for us to come to Transnet. Okay, no, thanks, comrade. I think we'll do that.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. We much welcome your visit, and I hope you'll see, as the Chairperson touched, that it's when he was looking at some of these things, he said something that really I always ask myself. I even ask the executives of Transnet, are we doing business with one family? Because all the time we are hearing, even the allegations, is about one family. You ask yourself, is Transnet that small that is doing business with one family? How about the other families? How about the other companies? And whenever these allegations, we have no control over media. Anyone just goes to media and can say Transnet has done this and this and this with this person. And some of these companies, they are companies that we have never done business with, but we have no control over media. So my concern is, I'm happy you'll come and visit us, and you'll see the supply chain of Transnet, and you'll see that we have other families, we have other companies. I'm not defending any family, but I'm saying to the people of South Africa, let us just be transparent. Thank you.
All right. No, that's fine. Didn't see that you're here. All right. Comrades, we have agreed that Tuesday we will meet as a committee to look at the information before us so that we can agree on approach, put things together. Then Wednesday we'll have Transnet. I was thinking, comrades, that maybe Thursday we get the State Security Agency, so we can have that other broader discussion beyond just Transnet. Yes, oh yeah, okay, fine, those two. No, they are coming to the committee to we are going to have an engagement with them on the matter. Comrade Boy, before I close.
I just wanted to check with you. Would you have a problem on the Tuesday meeting to have the Hawks and National Treasury just to come and beef up the information that has been provided so that when you go there, we are in one mind. They won't have time on Wednesday.
Is there in, would that be fine, whatever? No. The issue is when we meet as a committee to look at the information before us and to process it, would that add value to our engagement? If you are there, will you be able to add value to that discussion around the deviations and the expansions of Transnet?
Yes.
Okay. So Tuesday you come. Tombi, you must just liaise with them in terms of time. I'm sure we'll start at 10. And then Tombi will deal with the aspect. General Matagat, our Tuesday meeting.
We also appreciate to be in the Tuesday meeting.
Great, okay, that's fine. So on Tuesday you'll come, and Mkwanaz will not want you in that meeting, so please don't phone me and say, where are you meeting? It's our own planning meeting. We'll meet you on Wednesday. Right. Thanks very much, comrades. Wait, Rosa,
Chairperson, I have a different issue that I just like to flag with the committee and yourself. Not with Transnet, it is municipality related,
just take it,
and it's with regards to the disconnection of services to residents, which normally happens in December. If you will indulge with me just for two minutes, I can brief you on that after.
I'm counting. That's 120 seconds. 119, continue, 118.
Would you like me to go straight away?
Yeah.
Chairperson, it's about the limitation of water supply to residents in Machabeng and perhaps in about 20 municipalities where there is the non-payment of to the bulk suppliers from these municipalities. You will remember that we spoke about Machabeng and other municipalities that's in default of the electricity payments where they throttle the electricity and throttle the water and possible cuts to electricity, and we've asked for Treasury intervention in this regard. Our proposal then was that we engage with these municipalities. I believe we made a mistake. I think what we need to do is call Treasury, where there is in Treasury, which we are allowed to call to SCOPA, that we call the Department of Local Government, the Director of Treasury in Local Government, Mr. Jan Hatteng, to explain to us what proposals he is making with regards to the interventions in these municipalities where you find that these municipalities do not pay the bulk suppliers. It is extremely uncomfortable for residents when you have the disconnection of electricity over the festive season, but the ongoing, we've seen also now, limitation of water supply. We cannot have our residents to be without the basic services in this country. And I believe SCOPA should engage with these municipalities, but through the National Treasury Department of Mr. Jan Hatteng, that is in Pretoria, and we can just call them and they can guide us as to how we can solve this problem. Then we don't have to have the route that we have to engage with the provinces and COCTA. We call Treasury with regards to their division in terms of managing the finance, because it's not actually a supply of services problem. It is a financial problem, and I think that's where we should come in. Thank you.
All right. No, it's fine. You are correct. We've discussed it. That's why we even called ESCOM. What we did not do was the requisite follow-ups. And now the disconnection of water, it is now an additional threat to our people. So I think let us process that. But CEO, thank you very much. Thank you.